Blog Talk Radio.
Some other people, they load up on planes and brought them and got them a place to stay.
one lady had a baby under the bridge. God is still looking. And I want to tell you tonight, I want you to pray that there's a door open up. Prayer is strong. Because that could be me or you, our ancestors. You know, you said, well, they from Haiti. They came from Africa. They was dropped off in Haiti. We was dropped off in America. Some of them dropped off in our, but they still black. And white folks don't want black folks in this country. They got all these other folks. We buying welfare for them. We getting them food stamps. We getting them Social Security cards. Why can't the Haitians come? Why can't the Jamaicans come? If this country gonna be honest, you got to bring all the people in there. They brought them from San Salvador. They running from they running from the gangs. But the people in Haiti is running from earthquakes and tornadoes and floods. They ain't got nothing. So lift the people up from Haiti. I say. Let's lift them up from Haiti. And this is what I don't want. Let the devil ride.
Cause if you let him run, he'll wanna drive the wind. Down, please don't let him drive your car. Come on. Oh, don't let him drive your car.
we're going to be reading Psalm 119. We're going to get ready to sage up a house and clear things up. But we want to take back everything the devil stole. Because of our skin color, what's happening in Haiti, you're going to see racism raise their head. They marching in Washington now, the skinheads. And all of the crooked people marching in Washington, somebody ain't nothing was done. They try to take over the government. Let's take back.
Come on, put your hands together. Come on, put them together like this. Yes. Come on, y'all. We're going to take everything that the devil stole.
Mary Hawkins, get ready you know, you go around with the bells jingling, ling, ling, but you go. I want you to go. And when you get there, both of you get there, go to 1, 2, 3. And that's the one that you deal with after you look at the road. Say 1, 2, 3. And I just see diamonds jumping out. I see diamonds. I'm talking to somebody. I'm invoking the spirit of diamonds, spirit of money. You go where the money flowing, you're going to receive some of it. But don't play it back. When you get it, keep it. Because it's a blessing from the ancestor. I say. So get ready to keep what the ancestor is going to give you. It's going to be a blessing for you and a breakthrough for you. I want to talk a little bit about the true meaning of voodoo, which is the spirit world. In the Bible, see all religions come out of voodoo. Now, let me help you out. Christianity got a little voodoo. They got a little of that. Islam, Judaism, all of it. Because voodoo, you worship the spirit. You talk to the ancestors. In the Bible, I was reading in the Bible today where Samuel had to tell Samuel chapter 5, Samuel 2, 5, 28 and 7, he had to call for the lady, they call voodoo lady, to come and give him some information. And I want you to read that. If you don't understand, you call me.
And thus shall you eat all the days of your life. Genesis 3:14.
See, sometimes in voodoo, sometimes you don't understand what's going on in voodoo. So you miss some of the stuff that's going on. I want to play a little of it for you, where you might understand some of it.
And voodoo provided a sense of strength, even in those extraordinarily difficult contexts.
Worshipping in secret, the slaves were dispersed throughout the Caribbean and the Americas. With this sacred forest only a distant memory, they created a symbolic tree trunk, the Potomitan, a center pole around which their voodoo rituals turned. A powerful focal point for the gathering of the deities.
You're going constantly around the Book of Psalms, the tree that brought the goodness of the great God Almighty down to earth. So the Book of Psalms exact all this positive force from God, heaven down, but also simultaneously from our ancestors up. So it's where the two worlds meet.
Surprisingly, however, voodoo has done more than profoundly influence individual human lives through its mystical rituals.
I say. This is giving you a working of the spirit. I'm decreeing finance for them.
Sense, you know, voodoo was always seen as something that could threaten because
Why? Because it was demonstrating the possibility of freedom, spiritual freedom, and indeed political freedom.
There were many places where people struggled to overcome that and to revolt against slavery. There's only one place where that was successful, and that place was Haiti. And in Haiti, the voodoo was the primary tool that the people used to successfully free them from slavery.
One early prophet of freedom in Haiti was Macandal, a former slave from West Africa. Arrested in 1758 for possession of forbidden poisons, he was condemned to be burned at the stake. The day of his scheduled execution, Macandal is said to have miraculously leaped free of the flames. Many believe he had used his voodoo powers to escape. Dahl would eventually be captured and put to death. His legend endured, inspiring slaves to continue to seek freedom, escaping into the forests of Haiti.
What grew up in Haiti was not just a Buddhist religion, it was a Buddhist civilization. And in the same sense that we speak of a Christian Judaic civilization or a Buddhist civilization, you can speak of a Buddhist civilization. By the time of the Haitian Revolution in 1791, thousands and thousands of former slaves had fled and built their own way of life, which included serving the spirits, which is to say practicing what we call voodoo, a sense of solidarity, and a sense of anger arose.
Ironically, it would be the French Revolution that would inspire the Haitian slaves to rebel against their French slave owners. In 1791, Boukman, a former slave and voodoo priest, gave the historic signal to launch a slave revolt with the beat of voodoo drums. Drums that sounded the death knell of slavery in Haiti.
What gave them their power? What gave them their inspiration? The gods of Africa. The gods of Africa were reclaiming their own, were reconstituting their families who were refusing to serve anyone in slavery. It must be remembered that the initial act of rebellion was, in fact, a religious ceremony.
On a night in 1791, Boukman performed a ritual sacrifice of a black pig. His followers all drank its blood and swore their allegiance, vowing to shed the blood of their oppressors until the slaves were freed.
Decades of hatred burst forth in a single night in a revolutionary spiral that sent the plantations up in flames, flames that were seen all the way to the ruins.
It would be for another former slave, Toussaint Louverture, to lead the people of Haiti to independence from the French. Although Louverture would himself die in the struggle, his followers won their freedom. In one of the most astonishing military victories in history, the Iroquois slave defeated the might of Napoleon's forces, considered the finest in the world. What was the secret of the slave's triumph against seemingly impossible odds? Did they, as some have suggested, draw upon supernatural voodoo powers?
Fought with such terror and ferocity was because they knew that in victory lay freedom. In capture awaited tortures of the most heinous sort, and in death awaited only a return to the mythical homeland of Guinea, of Africa.
They created an independent black republic in the middle of slave-owning society. That's been a ripple of terror throughout all of the slave owners, throughout the whole Western Hemisphere. What if that were to happen in Brazil, in the rest of Central America, or in the Caribbean, or in the United States?
Fearing the spirit of freedom would prove contagious, terrified slave owners on neighboring islands isolated the fledgling nation of Haiti.
The white folks didn't want black folks to connect with Haiti because of the spirituality of Haiti, of their spiritual power. And I want to say to you tonight, when you begin to do your magic, your ancestors come. When you begin to call on your ancestors, they come. And your ancestors come to heal, to deliver you, to break you out. So it's important to understand your ancestors will come to help you out. Your ancestors will come to deliver you and bring you to another level. Ashe, 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 ashe. So that's very important. Know that your ancestors will work in your behalf and work for you quick, fast, and in a hurry. Let's have a little church now. This is divine healing. Lisa, I'm praying for you. Joe, I'm praying for you. Robert, I'm praying for you. Lewis, I'm praying for you.
So everybody put your hands together like this. That's it. We're going to have a good old church. Can I hear a little guitar? A little guitar, please. Come on. A little bass, please.
Said they're going to give you a piece of money. And anytime I what you work for, when you go where the circle at, you don't need, you need to go where ain't nobody around you. Sometimes you got to get by yourself because some people have janks on them. You got to get them, they, you know, you with them, but you got to keep yourself up where you can get healed. Well, thing, well, we're praying for the people in California with the fire and the people down in New Orleans and Baton Rouge, and it's still going on. The lady called me earlier today and said that water's still rising in Mississippi and Arkansas, all through there. But there's no sorrow on earth that heaven cannot heal. And I'm praying for your healing tonight. If you got a need, you plant a seed in our ministry, go to my website, thusseedabraham.com. And I'm asking you to call somebody, get to talking about Haiti, what we can do to help these people under the bridge in Haiti. Because, you know, it's about the color of their skin. If they had been white, they'd have brought them and put them in the army base. They let them stay on, and even the Mexicans say it's an emergency, get them out of over here. Biden want to send a plane and send the people back home to what? They ain't got no home. That's why they coming over here seeking asylum. So that's very important.
So everybody put your hands together like this.
For a blessing for you, and let's sing something about Haiti.
And they were banned throughout the Caribbean. Tragically, though Haiti would win independence in 1804, the Haitian people would be subjected to harsh tyranny at the hands of their own countrymen. The very belief in voodoo, which had spurred them to win their independence, would be used by their rulers to oppress them. Over a century and a half later, when François Duvalier was elected president of Haiti in 1957.
In 57, he was president, so he supposed to brought some happiness to black folks, but he did some other stuff, okay? What I'm saying, he supposed to brought, no, he was a bad leader.
I have been elected for president for life. It is not my desire, but it is the iron will of the Haitian people.
You know, someone like Duvalier, when he first came into office before, a lot of what was corrupt about him was revealed. He was a popular candidate, and they dubbed him Papa Doc. Called him father as a recognition of his power in the same way that they call him good priest father and a good priestess mother.
Well, when Papa Doc got in Haiti, the people needed a leader that could get him to another level. So when he got to Haiti, he got in office, he got corrupt. Like so many leaders, black, get corrupt. It's black-on-black crime that's happening all over the country. See, and right now in Haiti, everything done happened. And people were going, the white folks were going to Haiti to try to learn voodoo. They used to go to Haiti, to the colleges. All these colleges over there, where they going over there? They trying to learn. You can't learn this stuff. It's given by your melanin that you got in your body. It's given by your ancestors. I want to say that to you tonight. So working of the spirit, you know, when you said God got me, you saying the spirit got you. Before religion, let me say, before Christianity, before Islam, Judaism, before Buddhism, before every religion, the oldest religion in the world is voodoo, which working of the spirit, which come from Africa. In Egypt, they was working the spirit. Just before anybody knew about you, wasn't no Jesus, wasn't no Moses, well, none of that. It was the working of the spirit, which they call Budam. Y'all call it voodoo. And the white man put a sticker on it, saying, yeah, first thing is, am I working voodoo on me? All that means somebody working spirit. And you got the power to work spirits back on you. I say. Now, I want to tell you tonight I'm going to show you something tonight. Now, I'm going to prophesy to you tonight that each one listening to me tonight, before this month out, you're going to receive a financial blessing. But you got to go where the money flowing at. Ashe. And I want to say that to you. I see somebody winning. I see money coming to you. But you got to shut your mouth and go do it. And you need to clean yourself up. Monday is the full moon. You need to sage. They call it smudge. Clean your house out. Clean your hands up. Clean your car out. Get ready for a financial blessing. Ashe. You don't get this nowhere. Nobody else talk this talk with me. The other preachers, they don't tell you about it. But you need to run spirits out of your house. Stage your house, run evil spirits out. And call for the good spirit. Ashe, the ancestor to come. Yeah, I want to let you know. When Christianity come in, they ban voodoo. When Islam come in, they ban voodoo. Because voodoo religion, which is every religion, if you talk about Christianity, Islam, all of that is brought by spirit, what I'm saying. I'm saying all religion got some of that in it that took from it. You know, like you go shopping, you take something from it, it takes something from it. They do blood sacrifice. If you look in the Bible, where he finna kill his son, then he seen the ram in the bush. We do ceremony with goat. We do ceremony with chicken. That's part of the ritual. Okay? And you got to understand, Bishop Mason understood that. And he could gather the spirit. One time something was going on at the court. Bishop Mason went and stood at the court. 200 blackbirds sat around that court because it was unjust. He called them. So I want to tell you tonight, when you do your magic, things don't work for you. Whatever you need, God got what you want. You got to understand the absence of the spirit of God. Ashe. See, when Papa Doc got hated, he turned to corrupt for his own self. So the ancestors will kill you when you violate them. So for a while he fooled the people. But when the spirit realm, you can't fool the spirit. You can't fool Mother Nature. Like women getting abortions, women doing all this. The end, there ain't going to be no good end. Because you can't fool Mother Nature.
Facade of presidential grandeur, Papa Doc Duvalier circulated gruesome rumors to terrify the people. It was said that he could read goat entrails and that he slept in a tomb to commune with voodoo spirits. Duvalier saw to it that his secret police, the dreaded Tonton Macoute, were trained voodoo practitioners to intimidate his enemies into submission. Papa Doc cynically manipulated the beliefs of the Haitian people by cloaking himself in the symbolic trappings of one of the most feared of all voodoo gods, Baron Samedi, the guardian of cemeteries, a dreaded harbinger of death.
Part of the power of François Duvalier, Papa Doc, was that François Duvalier consciously used these symbols. So when François Duvalier spoke to the nation, he spoke to the nation through his nose, the way the Baron Samedi does during the Buddhist ceremony. He wore a somber vibe because you never see a picture of François Duvalier except he's in a black suit. He's got a black Homburg on his head. He's looking just as mean and nasty as the Baron Samedi can look.
Finally, after a reign of terror lasting almost 15 years, a tyrant who had modeled his image on the voodoo spirit of death would only leave office when death itself claimed him.
When Bama Sunday come to get him, they come and got him because he was faking it. They come and got him.
1947, an experimental filmmaker and actress from New York came to Haiti to film voodoo ceremonies. Her name was Maya Deren, and her camera would chronicle these extraordinary images of spirit possession, some of the earliest ever recorded on film. The phenomenon has long mystified scientists and scholars. Witnessing this moment, Maya Deren said she felt like she was on the threshold of the unknown.
That's spirits.
Maya Deren would soon cross that threshold and undergo the experience of spirit possession herself. Later, she would describe the startling moment of inner transformation.
It was a white darkness, its whiteness a glory, and its darkness terror. Why is there?
Spirit possession transformed Maya Deren's life forever, for she abandoned her film completely to become a voodoo practitioner herself.
The spirit took her over.
Spirit possession remains one of the most astonishing and mysterious aspects of voodoo. For the initiated, it is the miraculous defining moment of voodoo belief. But what exactly is possession?
The spirit takes you over.
Personality and consciousness of the priest or priestess is set aside, and that of the spirit takes over.
See, this white lady can't explain it like it's supposed to be. When you get the Holy Ghost, same thing. You're not of yourself. Speaking in tongues is not of you, it's the ancestors. The white folk try to clean it up, but that's your ancestor talking. When you begin to get happy, that's the ancestor coming to you. One man we prayed for, he couldn't walk. But he said a woman went down his leg, so he got up and walked. That was the ancestor. We had did enough ceremony to call that spirit of healing to come. Abuye in Haiti was trying to fake the spirit, and the white woman come to film. Keep filming for a little while, but the spirit took over. And she never did go back to filming. Because you got to have melon. You got to have history. You got to know where this stuff comes from. It comes from the Almighty God. I say, and the ancestors. It's the oldest religion in the world. It's the most powerful in the world. White folk were scared of it in slavery because some of them died. They was doing something to Africans, and the Africans was burying stuff and taking them dogs. Some white folks were scared of the folks in Haiti because the folks in Haiti stuck to their spirituality. But, you know, we doing something else. You know, we want to be Baptist, Catholic, all that. But when you go back to the spirit, the God of the water, the God of the wind, the God of the universe, whole things change when you call on the God of the water, the God of the wind. I say, and when you call on those gods, that you go into a trance. Now people be shouting, and that's the spirit coming up, revealing to them your healing, your deliverance, your breakthrough. You can't describe, can't no European describe what happened. They can talk about it, but you got to be black. The experience. That's what's going on, that melon that you got in you, wake things up in you and make it work. That's important. So I just want you to know that.
Their body and their voice. Spirits are said to ride the person they possess, and the person they possess is a swell or a horse. This is my spirit.
The spirit.
Sister religions, the African-based faiths of Candomblé in Brazil, Santeria in Cuba. But what actually happens to the one possessed?
They speak.
In their understanding, the spirit takes over the voice and the body of the person. And then when you talk to that person, you start to speak.
Basically, I
idea that you actually receive the spirits into your body directly. And that's what I think makes it so impressive. And that's, of course, why the Haitians say that you white people go to church and speak about God, but we dance in the temple and become God. Spirit possession is the transcendent experience in Voodoo and all its sister African-based religions throughout the world.
Got that in it.
Differ from Voodoo, but the spiritual revelation of possession is just as profound.
The same thing. The spirit of dance, they dance. And when they dance, they beat the drums, the heartbeats.
Continues to spark controversy among scholars.
Spirit possession is not some form of pathology, as some of our psychologists have tried to suggest, but rather it's a divine, some moment of divine grace.
A God.
According to Voodoo beliefs, the novice and the priest will react differently when their bodies are possessed by a deity.
Training. That very perilous ego exchange that goes on in it requires some training. Generally,
it don't take no training. I want to differ with her. It don't take training for the spirit. The spirit come in when you reach a certain anointing. And you're in church and you get the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit taking over, but they done covers up. Like white folks go to church to talk to God, we become gods. We become God. We become to tell you what to do, how to do. That's some of the important things of Voodoo, which is to be afraid. You embrace it. I say. And when you embrace it, it will work for you. Most Europeans never understand what's going on with that. This one white lady came with money. She went to Haiti. She was going to film the ceremony. She got caught up in the ceremony and they carried her home. They said she was crazy because they had never experienced that. You have to have melanin in your body. First, you got to be black. You know, it's no way that a white person can be a voodoo priest because you got to have melanin. You got to be from the raw family, I say. So that's what happened. And then if you got melon and you begin to defy the spirit, they will come and kill you. This is a dangerous religion. It don't play. The other religion you can play and fake it, but you can't fake this religion. It's for real and it's serious.
To invest it and to bring back dividends for God, he buried it in the ground, so to speak, of indifference. And he did not anticipate his tragic end, however, because the Lord of those talents came back at an unsuspected time. The danger of it all is that you are given the control and the management of this investment that God has made in you.
Yes.
And that you are left on your own. Yes. God doesn't stand around and punch you. That is, literally, he doesn't to see what you're doing and how you're going to do. He merely lets you know that you are responsible for my investment.
Yes.
And that I'm holding you accountable.
Yes.
And that one day I will be back.
Yes.
And you must report to me.
Yes.
For everything that you've done.
Yes.
And how you have invested what I have given you.
Yes.
And I said the danger of it is you own your own.
Yes.
You own your own.
Own your own.
But You know, sometimes some people cannot stand to be on their own. Some people cannot stand responsibility. Some people cannot make good managers, it appears. Some folk are waiting for the first opportunity. As soon as the boss takes his eye off them, they are searching. Hiding. Marking time. But that is dangerous. Because the boss of your life, the giver of your life, the investor that has invested in you, not what you should do, and know what he has made you capable of doing. Pray with me if you please. You're talking about a time clock. He has put one within all of us. He knows when you punch in and when you punch out. He knows whether you are late or on time. Pray with me, there's no escape. And if you are lying down on the job, if you haven't punched in for the last year or so, if you haven't reported for duty for the last month or so, he know it tonight. You can't escape. He's made an investment in you. And it's not left up to you to do what you want to do with it. You've got to one day account for the deeds done in your body. Why, I often say that when I look down on the casket and see those two little startling words, at rest, doesn't always mean that the person that's in there is at rest. It sometimes means the home that he came out of is at rest. Now that he's gone, or now that she's gone. Sometimes it means that husband is at rest. Sometimes it means that wife is at rest. Now that they have laid you out. Are you praying with me? Sometimes it means that the church where he was a member is now at rest. Because they kept up so much confusion. Sometimes it means the neighbors or the people with whom they work are now at rest. Now that you're gone. So brothers and sisters, we should all remember that there is one who has an all-seeing eye and who knows what investment he's made in us. He knows whether or not he left with us one talent or whether or not he left with us two. He knows whether or not he's left with us five. You see what I'm talking about? And he knows exactly what our report should be. That is, if it is a faithful report. Yeah, and I think that all of us, and especially those of you who have wandered away, and who seem to think because you're getting by that you've gotten away. Well, remember, you may be getting by, but that doesn't mean you have got away. Pray with me if you please. I've seen people who committed crime and have gotten by for several years. And one day when they feel safe, satisfied and secure, why, the FBI walk up and tap them on the shoulder and tell them exactly who they are and what they've done and where they did it. There was a man who gotten by, but who didn't get away. And you talking about an FBI system. Why, my God has the best the world has ever known. He had all kind of agents working for him. Sickness worked for him. And it's sometime one of his detectives. Oh, Lord. And Sometime misfortune work for him. And sometime trouble will arrest us for him. And I don't believe you know what I'm talking about. Why expenses about our family life works on God's side. You may feel because you're getting by, you've gotten away. Lord, if you're wasting your life and wasting your time, if you've forsaken God and like a prodigal went away from home into the far country of pleasure and into the far country of revelry. Remember, great God, if you don't mind out like Jonah, great God, you know Jonah thought he'd gotten by too, you know, and thought he'd gotten away too. Oh, Lord, but the Lord called his detective to win. And then call another one of his officers, the cloud, and spoke to another one of his agents, the sea, and made that old sea boil like a potter, and made the wind roll themselves into a hurricane. I don't believe you know what I'm talking about tonight. Oh, Lord, my God, great God, whispered to a whale and told him to be a submarine for him and keep up with that ship until he got Jonah convinced. Holy God Almighty. Oh, Lord. And eventually Jonah had to come on wire. He bought his ticket and then went down below deck. Pray with me if you please. And hid from the crowd and from the passengers and lay down and went to sleep. And trouble arose on the old vessel. Nobody knew what was going on or who was responsible. Nobody knew that Jonah was on board. You know, sometime the vessels of our lives are rocking because there is a Jonah on board. You may not know why he is or who he is, but all of the shaking and all of the trouble that you are having is because there's a Jonah on board somewhere. Oh, Lord. But the Lord made the wind, the lightning and the thunder. The sea worked for him to bring Jonah out. Oh, Lord. He may be working on you, and you may think you are hid in the hull of life. And the reason why the storms of life are raging around you, God is trying to bring you out of where you belong and where you promised to be. I don't think you know what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord, you ought to do like Jonah. Great God. You know, Jonah cost the ship so much trouble. Yes, he did. They had to throw off supplies into the sea. They had to drown medicine and food that was intended for innocent people in the far country. Oh, Lord. But on the account of Jonah, they had to waste it all. Well, you may be causing other people to suffer because you are Jonah. Oh, come on up. Yeah. And do like Jonah did. Come on up on board. Yeah. And tell the world, I know I'm wrong. Yeah. I know I've been running away. Yeah. I know I've been hiding. Oh, Lord. I know why I'm going through all that I am going through. The Lord is my God. I don't even know what I mean tonight. Oh, Lord, if I were you tonight, wherever you are, if I'd been a Jonah, if I'd been like one of the talent men who've been laying down on a job, oh, I mean right now, even right where you are, right in your home, I'd make up in my mind, right now. Right now, I'd make it up in my mind. Yeah. Like a wonder.
wandering prodigal I'd get up out the hog pen. Like a running hiding Jonah, I'd come out of the hole. Yes, I would. And I'd tell the Lord, Lord,